Warning.
Warning.
Now for a word of caution.
It's time to step into the danger zone with your host, the danger himself, Chris Danker.
Chris Danker.
Well, here comes the pain. I've been looking forward to this for a very, very long time now, quite some time. Welcome to the debut episode of Into the Danger Zone. My name is Chris. I greatly appreciate you tuning into this new venture of mine. For those that don't know, I'm a content creator, YouTuber, live streamer, recording artist, and now aspiring podcaster, apparently. And I originally planned on using this time during the first episode to kind of go into like why I started this podcast, what I planned on doing with it, give you a little background information and stuff. But during my conversation with my first guest today, WWE's Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed, we actually touch on that quite a bit, as well as a wide variety of shit, including mental health, how he's been dealing with the release of his friends. He was, as expected, very open and honest, and I very much enjoyed our conversation, and I believe you guys will as well. The release schedule for Into the Danger Zone is going to be weekly, every Monday. Odd-numbered episodes, 1, 3, 5, 7, etc., will feature conversations with special guests, a lot like my one today with Woods, and the even-numbered episodes are going to be themed around specific stories, eras, matches, events, etc. Some of those will have guests, and some of those will be just me telling stories about, you know, life and wrestling and talking about the things that I enjoy. Each episode is going to be posted in full on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, pretty much everywhere you get your podcasts from. We've got the Twitter account at Danger Zone Pod, the Instagram page at Danger Zone Podcast, and the YouTube channel where we're going to be posting clips from the shows. And joining the Patreon community is going to give you full access to the video versions of the podcasts in full. Patreon.com/Chris Danker for access to that. Shout out to my current patrons who joined before I even posted this first episode, which is insane. Like, that support is very much appreciated. And over the coming weeks, we got a lot to cover and to touch on. But for now, this episode is a pretty long one. So sit back, relax. I couldn't have asked for a better first guest. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Xavier Woods to step into the danger zone.
And so
see what happens.
Yeah, which is the conversation that we were already having. So just talking about you saying you're going to do 15 minutes by yourself explaining, like, just let me ask. I'm curious too.
What are you curious about?
Well, so like you're making this podcast, like you have so many irons in the fire with entertainment. You're extremely talented across like so many things. Like why a podcast now?
Honestly, it's kind of it. Well, first of all, I've been talking about it probably for like 2 years at this point.
Yeah.
Just like whether or not I was going to do it, but I knew that it would primarily not have to be wrestling, but I feel like leaning into, you know, my wrestling fan base and the people that watch me for the wrestling stuff, I feel like was probably the way to go. But for a really long time now, and I think I told you, I just like haven't been into it. I just don't.
Yeah,
I haven't cared about wrestling like to that extent. So I was like, the idea of adding something else to my plate that's just more talking about wrestling does not interest me in the slightest.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So
it's so easy to burn out, especially when you're doing as many things as you are.
All the time.
A lot of people, like fan wise or like, you know, supporter wise, we'll say supporter.
Yeah. I like that. But I feel so weird saying the word fan. It doesn't feel right. I don't know why. Some's really weird about it.
I feel like a lot of times they don't see the other side of like a creator's life. So like they get the Chris Danker who's, hey guys, YouTube, ready to go? Smash that subscribe button. You know, you, like my like.
You know how hard it is to turn that off when I'm sitting in this seat. Like when if the camera's on and stuff, I'm just like, hey, what's going on? It's just like this thing that switches on, and it's really hard to stay off. It's like I don't know what it is. I don't know when I learned it, but it's something that I wanted to do because I feel like that's the way that people are going to get to know you the best is when you're not, you know, I'm not worried about, hey, I have to fucking talk at this energy, at this volume, at this pace so that people stay watching or whatever. Like if you turn on a podcast, you pretty much know what you're getting yourself into. And it's to further your knowledge either about the person or the topic that you're, you know, perusing the podcast about. But it's honestly how good wrestling has been as a whole these last couple of weeks that has really gotten me to the point where I'm like, you know what? Now it just might be the time. Now might be the time. Because I don't really hate talking about it right now. So let's do that. Let's do that.
It's a lot sometimes. And like, so like me being in it, like I eat, sleep, breathe, like bleed wrestling. I am obsessed. But there's many times where I'm like, honestly, like maybe the past couple of years, like just burned out, checked out from like being a fan, essentially. And so like, I love doing it. I will never stop loving like performing as a professional wrestler. But just sometimes like it's hard. It would be hard for me to like watch it and enjoy it as I used to. If that makes any sense.
No, absolutely.
But like, I guess in the past, like, I guess when I got hurt, I stopped watching wrestling completely, like even WWE. It's like, it hurt my soul to sit and watch it.
I remember you telling me that.
Maybe what, like 4 months in, I was like, you know what? Let me start watching like some indie stuff. Let me start watching like whatever I can find, like New Japan, like AAA. Let me start getting things. It's like, okay, like there's so much wrestling and there's so much interesting stuff. But I think one reason that I think it's great that you're doing a podcast is because, especially right now, now people have really taken hold of the idea that wrestlers or people that are involved in wrestling used to always be classified as purely that. And it's so hard to break out of that box sometimes. Mm. But right now, like there's so much support for people in the wrestling community to branch out and start doing other things. And those supporters coming along with them rather than saying, oh, this isn't bumps. I'm not caring about this.
Yeah.
So I personally think it's a perfect time for you to start doing this.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, obviously. I don't think it was a surprise to anybody either when I was like, hey, guess who my first guest is? there's definitely like a small subset of people who think I like use you for your fame and your fortune, honestly.
Well, let me squash it right now. I begged you to be my friend. So we can squash all that.
I don't think that's how it went down. I don't think that's how it went down, was it?
That in my head, I was like, I gotta get this guy to like me because he's like really cool.
Bro, I'll never forget the night in Vegas. I don't know what it is about you. I trusted you immediately to where like I remember showing you like my YouTube analytics and like my paychecks and stuff. Because you were like, yeah, man, this up, up, down, down stuff, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I feel like it could be something and it's blah, 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 and it's that. I'm like, yeah, it could absolutely be something. Look what my little schmuck ass is doing. And like, I was just like showing you shit. And then like to see how seriously you took it from that point on too is not something that happens a lot because. Yeah. There's a lot of wrestlers who have some great channels and some great podcasts of their own, Twitch channels, whatever. But the time and the dedication you put in, you literally bring your shit with you to every city you go to. You have your setups and your consoles and your cameras and your microphones. I don't even want to think about what your luggage looks like.
Well, I also bring my bass guitar and a full
amp. Oh my Jesus Christ.
Everywhere I go.
Thank God you don't have a title right now, or else we might have a little more space. Oh no, okay.
Let me just refresh for everyone listening. I would love to have a championship, but the only negative side to it is extra 15 pounds in your back.
That's gotta be a pain in the ass because you probably gotta take the shit out every time too, right? Maybe it depends on who's
I commit the cardinal wrestling sin, okay? And I started doing this when I got the channel. So you never, ever, 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 for however long before I made the channel, never check your wrestling gear.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Because it can
get lost. Yeah, I do that. Yeah.
And you get to the show, you don't have gear, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Well, I said, I'm making this YouTube channel, I got to pick. And I checked my wrestling gear for the first time, and it was like... it was one of the most scared times I've ever been in my life.
Stressing out.
I was like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
What am I going to do if this bag does not clear? Mm. This YouTube channel is like not important yet to anyone but me. Like no one's going to care. Like, hey, no, I had my stuff for the YouTube channel. They're like, what are you talking about? YouTube? You have a YouTube? Yeah, yeah. The company put out a press conference or a press docket thing about it. Like, what are you? Get out of here. You don't have gear. Like,
where is your gear at?
Exactly. So I was just terrified. And then like after the first couple of weeks, I was like, okay, this isn't bad. And then once like the YouTube channel started like becoming something, I had it in my back pocket. Like if I ever did like have an issue with gear, then I could just be like, well, so I mean, there's three of us.
We could make something. We can make something work.
YouTube channels are going. Yeah, and it's only happened. Luckily, it's only happened once. Where I didn't have it, but I ended up getting it right before the match anyway. But
yeah,
I decided this was our fix for it. E has always wanted Kofi and I to wear singlets. he loves singlets. He wants us to go out triple singleted up.
Sure. Day. Well, I want that too now.
Well, Kofi wasn't on the show, and so we're just waiting for my gear. The airport is like, we'll put on the next flight. You know, it'll hopefully get to you. So like when that happens, the bag has to get there. They have to find it. Then they put somebody in a car to drive to you wherever you are. So we're like an hour and a half away from the airport. And it's like, oh my God, like this is, I'm never getting this gear. And he's like, well, we've got an extra singlet. I was like, oh, come on. So ended up just going with the extra singlet. And
I can't imagine how happy he was.
Dude. We just did all the Steiner
stuff. You know, I got an extra singlet, right? You know, I got. Yeah. You know what I got?
He was That's so awesome. Happy. But it led to so like we had my gear got there in time for me to change. But I was like, I'm already in this. This is fine. Let's just do this singlet match.
That's amazing.
But it gave us an idea, and I don't know if it was like that week at TV or a couple months later. We had a match against it was Bo McGillicuddy. And why did I call him McGillicuddy?
I don't know.
I can't remember who the third, maybe Heath, maybe. Don't quote me. But we had a six man and it was our main event and we had time. And they're like, you can do whatever you want. And we said, Don't
say that.
don't say that.
Don't say that.
The company will catch some lawsuits if we can do whatever we want. And so we told him we want to do like this singlet match that we've done before. So we gave them this idea, like, let them come out and cut a promo that they stole my bag. They have my luggage. So they had my bag and they were holding it hostage. And so when I came out, I had to wear E's singlet. But when I got tagged in, I just did all of E's moves.
Was that ever on TV? Was that ever?
Yeah.
That was on? I feel that sounds vaguely familiar. And I feel like I might have to bring it up and put a clip in there somewhere.
Because
it sounds vaguely familiar.
It's so ridiculous.
That's amazing. And that's, It's so I'm so happy for E that he got his moment in the sun because he was probably just smiling from ear to ear while you were running those ropes. Yeah. You did everything. You did finishes, all of the E stuff, the power stuff, everything,
overheads.
I remember you telling me you were like you always wanted to lean more towards the E side of stuff versus the Kofi side of stuff because you were you've always considered yourself like a hybrid of power and speed, right? But I remember in the last couple of years, you were talking about like, oh man, but one day I want to be able to do like the stuff that E does and be able to lift that kind of stuff and do that heavy shit. And I've seen it. I've seen you increase in the amount that you're able to lift and what you're able to do in the ring. And it's very impressive. It's very impressive.
Well, it's a long process. So for me, like the way that I kind of wanted to be perceived in my like role in the New Day, like looking at other factions and other teams with like more than two people is like the issue always comes because like everybody tries to be like the same thing.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be like either the strongest guy or like the fastest guy or something. And people, I feel like it's hard for people to kind of like not take a back seat, but to play a different role, to play an alternative role. And so for me, I realized that looking through all this other stuff is like, man, nobody really plays like the little brother. I feel like we could get a lot out of that depending on like where we're going with like storylines or things like that. And so that's when it was like, okay, cool. E, you're the strength. Kofi, you're like the veteran that everybody knows. And I'm like the little brother for the two of you, even though I've been wrestling the longest. So in doing that, it let all three of us shine in our own way. So at the times where, so for instance, like when we did the stuff like with the Wyatts, like I don't want E to be the one who's scared. He's our muscle. I don't want Kofi to be the one who's scared because he's the one that everybody already believes in. Like people know like the least about me, I guess, like in that type of realm. So like, so I can be the variable that changes things. So rather than the whole group changing and us losing that New Day like aesthetic and that vibe, they can keep that and I can show change in order to show change within the group. and to hopefully like make things more interesting, you know? And so I feel like doing stuff like that really worked out and helped us with our longevity, because now that E's on SmackDown and it's Kofi and I on Raw, like now, since our strong guy isn't there, I get to play more of that role because I do see myself as the hybrid. So now, rather than doing less stuff like that, less like power stuff, because that's E's realm, and I want to make sure, like, leave that for him, leave the other stuff for Kofi, and I got my own. I can now dive more into that realm of like being like a strong professional wrestler, I guess. But also, too, I don't want to. Oh, E was gone, so let me just change everything instantly.
Right,
that's weird.
Right.
So since we got split, I tried to add little things every single time I get in front of a camera so that the perception starts to change a little bit. And it'll just, I feel like it's like, we always talk about, it's like an onion, there's layers to this. And I think that the reason that we have this longevity is because we have the foresight to say like, well, if we come out of the gate like this, then where are we going to go? If we come out at a 10, we can't go any higher. So like, let's give everything that we have up to a 3. Like, we're going to leave it all in the ring every single time on the mic. We're going to leave everything out there, but we're only going to show them like a certain percentage of ourselves.
Right.
So that when that starts to feel like boring or like slow or something, now we open up and we go from a 3 to a 4.5. And people go, oh, this isn't completely different. It's like still the New Day that I know and I enjoy, or the New Day that I cannot stand to see on TV, like whichever side you're on. But now I'm seeing a new side of them, rather than just like, I'm the cookie cutter pro wrestler, I'm gonna do the same thing every time you see me. This is, I'm a human who happens to also be a professional wrestler, and I have a gamut of emotions. Yes, our shtick is power positivity, and we're always smiling and happy. But like, you've seen us upset, you've seen us frustrated, because like, we're human people, so we have to be able to show those ranges of emotions.
Right.
And Matt does nothing, I think, but help us get to that next position, because now, again, with E gone, it's like we're on we had to peel back another layer and figure out like what that next thing was, whether that was to like jump to 6 or 7 or 8, whatever it was. But in doing all of this and realizing how we want to like essentially like play with our personalities and how they intertwine with each other and how our personalities intertwine with other people in the ring and how they interact with people on the microphone, we figure it out. Like it's not a 0 to 10 scale. It's a 0 to infinity. You have to just find what that next thing is. And that's for me personally, that's what keeps me going, like in wrestling, but also in every other aspect of life. As like you said, like with YouTube, trying to like put everything into it. Cause when you showed me all that stuff, it was like, oh, I can make like a legit like living off of this when I'm done wrestling. And so realizing, okay, I've got a certain level of fame or certain level of celebrity because of wrestling right now. Let me use that in a parallel shift to try to bring up my name in gaming, so that when I get done wrestling, I'm not starting from scratch. Cause that's the most terrifying thing on the planet to me, to start from scratch and not know what to do or where to go, or just to like feel like lost. I think that's everybody's fear, honestly.
Absolutely. Like, I said before we started recording this, I was like, oh, I'm a little nervous about this. And you were like, what? We've recorded together 1,000 times. And I was like, no, it's not that. It's like, it's stepping into a new realm that I haven't been in before, releasing something on a platform I haven't done before, doing things in a way that are completely different than I usually do them. I do actually want to mention something you just said, because it's funny. It's funny that you called yourself the little brother of the group, because I feel like that's the way that, and it's fine. Like, I think that's like a cool part to play within the role of the New Day. At the same time, I think it leads, and it has led to everybody to use this word about you that I told you I hate, is my least fucking favorite word in the world, which is underrated. So, I believe in giving people their flowers, right? I think as far as your ring skills, mic skills, understanding of the business, I think it's pretty fucking good in my opinion. I believe that you are very capable. Do you think that you're underrated?
I'll be honest. I don't really care.
Really?
If someone thinks I'm like not as good as I know I am, because like it bothered me a lot. Like I'd rush to like the PWI 500, and be like, oh man, I should be higher. This sucks. Like no, like PWI 500 is fantastic. It's a way to get your name out there. People get to see what you're about. Times like, rather than seeing it as that kind of tool, regardless of like where you are in it, I was like so upset because I wasn't higher, you know? Mm-hmm. And I brought it up because it was fresh in my head because it just recently came out. So to congrats to everybody that made it. It's
a fun thing. Yeah, you're good job.
Yeah. No, like I would go buy like 15 copies of the magazine. My dad would, I'd get home like, hey, look, I got these. He goes, I got 20. I'm like, oh man, this is so cool. I got a magazine. You know, so that stuff and people talking about like on the internet, this and that, it used to bother me a lot. But then I realized like, I don't mean to sound like conceited or weird, but like I'm crushing it. You know,
there you are.
Like I've put in so much work. I've been wrestling since I was 17. I just turned 35 last Saturday, and I've had a very long
happy career. Late birthday, by the way.
Thank you. I've been with WWE since 2010. It's 2021 now. That's like an 11-year like run with the company. So guys are lucky if they get like out of developmental. You know, and so like I just feel extremely grateful that I've been able to like have the platform that I've had. To be able to have the opportunity to have the kinds of matches that I've had, to be able to like travel to the places I've been able to travel to. Like, so as far as like someone having conversation about like underrated or overrated or anything like that, like, bro, like since I was like the smallest I can remember, I've always wanted to be a pro wrestler. Mm. Now I'm not only a pro wrestler now, like I am part of what I think to be one of like the greatest groups in the history of wrestling. And obviously, I have a little bit of bias on that.
Only a little. Just a little.
But I feel like, and I'm not even really talking about the wrestling aspect. I feel like we've been able to reach people in a different way that a lot of people wouldn't have been reached otherwise. So my favorite thing that I get to experience as like a member of the New Day is when somebody sends us pictures from a show or like the shirts that they just got. And they say, hey, I've loved wrestling since I was a kid. And I have like a 4-year-old daughter and I tried to show her wrestling and she didn't care anything about it. And then she saw what she calls like the unicorn guys. She doesn't even know that we're called New Day. Like, she's like, I like them. They're wearing like pink and bright blue colors. Mm-hmm. And now she wants the shirt. And so that dad telling us thanks because now he can share professional wrestling with his daughter. Like that to me is absurd. It's incredible. So like
awesome.
The titles are fun and it's important and it's cool to have sweet matches and to like entertain people in city from city to city, but like it's those moments of someone saying like I can now share this with someone, whether it's their daughter, whether it's a friend, whether it's like an aunt that you pulled into wrestling. Those are the kinds of things that I enjoy. So again, someone talking about like overrated, underrated, like bro, I could not care less how I'm interpreted in that sense.
Yeah,
because like through wrestling I've made some of the best friends that like anyone could ever make. I got to meet you because I chose this path to wrestle. Like I live in a nice house. Like I'm able to provide for my family.
Yep.
I've got enough to be able to save to hopefully retire at some point. Mm-hmm. Like as long as you're happy, this overrated and underrated stuff like doesn't matter. And it used to matter to me because I would put my self-worth in how I was like booked on the show.
Yeah.
I guess we'll go to insider terms.
Mm-hmm.
And that put me in a really dark place.
Yep.
Because you cannot, no matter how hard you try, you cannot change the way someone sees you if they don't want to change how they want to see you.
Mm.
So anyone who would say something like that, like probably has in their head how they view you. And it's not on me to change it because I know what I am. I know who I am. I know how hard I've worked. And I know that I've reached the status that I've reached while paying attention to wrestling half the time, like full blown, like 2 degrees, masters, like we're shooting for a PhD, right into making a YouTube channel. Like I've literally never in my life paid attention to only wrestling.
Mm.
And so in that sense, I feel even like triple successful.
Yeah.
Because I've been able to not only perform and be able to reach the heights that I have in wrestling, but to reach those heights in my like personal life and my personal education. And then to be able to put that on a YouTube channel.
Mm.
Again, I don't mean to sound like weird or conceited. Like I just feel very lucky I've been able to somehow like manage that and figure that out. So
I think that's a really great way to look at it. Like I think the thing that pisses me off the most more than anything though is when I hear the word on commentary. As I'll hear, here you do a nice move, and oh, Xavier Woods, he's so underrated. Oh, instead of being like, oh, here's one of the smoothest, smart, he'll outsmart you. It's kind of it's the word. Oh, look at him, he's so underrated, and I'm just like, rate him then. Like, You have the information in front of you. You know how good he is, what he's capable of. It just bothers me that people don't rate you properly. I like that you have that outlook for yourself. I don't have that outlook for you, though. It bothers me when people call you underrated.
Well, thank you for the support.
Yeah, you are.
And so in the same vein, so like we were talking about before, so I was saying like I perceived as like the little brother of A New Day, and like slowly trying to like change that perspective. But then also in this next question, like we're talking about rated and overrated, saying like it's going to be hard to change somebody's perspective if they don't want to change it. So like, So in that fight and that struggle of like, yeah, had some sweet matches on Raw. Like people were like, oh man, like this is so crazy. Like you can do this. So like, I appreciate the love. I appreciate the support. Like I've been doing this for 17 years. So like, if that's not the norm from me, there's a problem. Like I expect to go out there and have a banger every single time I have a match. I don't care if it's on a live event, house show. I don't care if it's on Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-view. I don't care when or where it is. Like my objective is to have a absolute banger. So I think it was like when I had the match with Riddle, everybody's like, oh my God, we didn't know you could do this. I'm like,
That's what I mean.
I guess you haven't really like seen it, but like you have, because all those matches with the Usos, like I was in those matches.
The information is there. That's what bothers me. The data, like, yeah, like, the data is in front of you if you just want to see it.
It's right there. Like I'm wrestling in these matches. I am performing as well as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. But so I honestly just enjoy. Like, so again, like it's whatever. Like I'm doing well. My paycheck is nice. Like I'm happy with my life.
There
it's
you great. Go.
I get to go out and wrestle. When I do get time in matches, like I do my best to tear it up. And I don't know. I like that everybody's like doing well and working hard. And
yeah, man,
that's what it is for me. Like I enjoy working hard. I like earning my paycheck. I like earning my respect. I like earning the friendships that I have.
Yeah.
But like if people are like, oh, he's underrated, it's like, well, person who's saying that, like, what are you doing?
what are you doing in your life?
and I get it, and I don't mean the people who say like I'm underrated, the people who are like, oh man, he sucks, he'll never do anything. I'm like,
sure,
cool dude, like I'm sitting here with a Jackie Chan cutout on my sweet computer with my whole setup, like chilling. I'm so incredibly happy, and I wish that more people would take that route. Just be happy as well. Enjoy what you enjoy.
I wish
if you don't enjoy something, don't like, there's no reason to like take a dump on it. Just enjoy what you enjoy.
Don't be,
you
know, don't be dumping.
Don't tear somebody else down.
Something else I know is a goal of yours. And speaking of earning things, I feel like you've earned it. Do you feel like you've earned a King of the Ring opportunity?
I've earned a shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've earned a shot. The only way to know if you earn the crown is to go through the tournament.
Sure. But you talk about that more than anything else. Why is that so important to you?
So, okay, this is going to be probably opposite from literally everything that I just said.
Sure. Give me the scoops.
For me, even though like I do believe in myself, I do like enjoy everything that I do. I do like going out performing and all that stuff. Like for me, like I've always seen myself as someone who's like beaten the odds, essentially, because I feel like they've just kind of always been in front of me. Like, you're not going to be big enough to wrestle. All right, whatever. All right, you'll never make it out of developmental. All right, whatever. You'll never be a champion. All right, whatever. Okay. You'll never perform at WrestleMania. All right, whatever. Like, your YouTube channel will never kick off. All right, okay. Whatever. Like, like, what are we talking about?
What are we doing here?
Like, yeah, I'm doing the best that I can, and I'm just happy everything's been as successful as it is. But as far as King of the Ring, and the reason I pushed the one night tournament specifically is because having a match a week is cool. It's great. But I feel like one night, three or four matches, like you not only have to be like a good performer, you have to have incredible cardio. Your body has to be right. Like so many more things that normally, quote unquote, don't have to do with like pro wrestling that you people don't really look at. Like those come into play. Like all of these real life things. Like if your body cannot hold up, you can't do it.
Yeah.
If you don't have the cardio, you can't do it. If you wrestling don't have the mind,
three, four times in a night is a yeah. serious test of your yeah. skill, your skill.
Making it as different as you can and wanting, like I said, all those matches to be bangers. Like that is not easy. It's way, 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 way easier to do that once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, and so to be able to do that is cool. Do the once a week tournament or the tournament matches and then do the big one at the, at the pay-per-view or whatever. That's so cool. And it's monumental. Mm-hmm. It's an event, you know,
yeah.
but to do it in one night. it turns to like, it turns from, this is a character on a show that I enjoy trying to fight his way through a weekly tournament to, this is a character that I enjoy. And I just saw him wrestle three full matches. I know his body hurts for real. Yeah. I know his mind is wiped for real. I know his lungs are on fire. For real. That to me, that is the test. It's a test. That's, and like the crown, incredibly important to me. But for me, like that's my final exam.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I want. I want the test because I know that I can do it. I have nothing but full confidence that I can do that. And I can hold that together. I can keep it interesting, aka having the match, last Monday. We had six matches on Raw.
Right. Was it that many? Was it six? Wow.
Yeah. We had six. We won five and lost the last one. And so, like, for me, I love, like, I can't tell you what kind of zone I was in as we were doing that. Like,
yeah.
there's nothing better to me than being in that zone. Because, like I said, like, every time a pin happened and some people online, like, oh, roll up. Ah. Okay. Mm. Take some bumps and then talk to me, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like, the crowd would get louder after every single victory.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, that means we're doing it right.
Yeah.
They're invested. Absolutely. They're interested. And they realize that our bodies hurt. They realize our lungs are on fire. They realize that, oh, every single one of these matches is so different from the one before. Like, this is wild. So for me to be able to do that is a very cool experience because it's not something that it's not a skill set that I had before I started wrestling. It's something that I had to learn and grow into. I had to learn from every single match that I ever had. I had to learn from my trainers. I had to learn from Kofi. I had to learn from me. I had to learn from all these different people and put this together in this package to present to people as, hey, this is my form of art. I hope that you like it. I hope you think it's entertaining. And when people do find it entertaining, like something happens like in my soul. I go back to this moment, and sorry to be so long winded.
No,
it was the first
time, baby.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is your show. What am I talking about? So the first time that I ever wrestled in like a civic center, it was the biggest place that I'd wrestled. I think I'd been wrestling for like a year and a half, maybe a year. It was in Gainesville, Georgia, for NWA Anarchy, which is kind of like a feeder program for TNA. And so is it Gainesville Civic Center? I think it's called. Again, don't quote me on that. My memory's terrible. But it was me and my partner, Hayden Young. We were the awesome attraction because I was Awesome Creed and he was the attraction, Hayden Young.
Let's go.
Three-way tag ladder match. And my parents had never seen me wrestle. And I said, this is the biggest show I've ever done. Please come. And they were like, my mom couldn't even watch me amateur wrestle because it hurt her too bad when I get beat up. And so they're like, fine, we'll come to it. And there was a point where I had somebody in a ladder and I'm like smashing them. My hair is cornrowed at the time. So I felt like super like aerodynamic. But as I'm smashing brother in the ladder, everybody's like chanting like Creed.
Mm.
And you've seen Waterboy.
Yeah.
Mm. Remember when his mom comes up to him and tells him like, I'm so proud of you. Like, I understand all this now. Mm. Like literally we got in the back. I enjoyed the match. The promoter was really cool with us. And my parents, he grabbed my parents and they wanted to come back and talk to me. And my mom did like the whole like Waterboy speech pretty much. But like, it was like so real. She was like, she's like, I understand why you want to do this so bad now.
Mm.
Because like, they're like, they fully supported me at all times because they never were like, oh, it's a phase. Like no, if you want to do it, like, we'll help you pay for college, but you got to pay for wrestling school because this is something extra that you want to do. So you have to work extra to achieve it.
Yeah.
So I got the job at the daycare to pay for wrestling school, to pay for gas, to get to shows where I was making no money, but literally like in the red from wrestling for like a decade. Right.
Yeah.
So it felt, But they had that whole deal. They told me they were proud of me. My dad like hugged me, told me he was proud of me. And I go over on these steps and I'm like losing it, right? And I'm sitting down just like weeping. Yeah. And I hear somebody starting to come over to the steps and start trying to like get myself together. And I hear my partner go, Hey, don't go that way. And the guy's like, what? And he's like, Creed's parents said they were proud of him. He's like, oh, okay. All right. I got it.
Oh, you don't want to go. You don't go over there.
Everybody understands that that feeling is, even if you haven't felt it, you know, like that's what you're striving for, you know, like,
yeah,
that's what we want. And so for me, to come back to what I was actually talking about is when those moments happen where I get the chance to feel that energy from people, like what I'm doing is entertaining to them. They are enjoying this. Like I'm like transported back to that moment of my parents telling me that. And I like, yeah. I sit in it as I'm out there. And it's this crazy, incredible feeling. So to be able to sit in that for like an hour, like there's nothing on this planet, nothing on this earth that will ever make me feel like that.
Yeah. Having the support and getting that motivation from your parents or from like a parental figure, especially early on, is so huge. Like, I remember sitting my mom down on the couch and being like, hey, I'm not going to go to college. I'm going to move out to Philly and be a backup dancer. How are we feeling about this? and she had a lot of questions, as should anyone. But she was like, I can tell this is what you want to do. Go do it. You know, if you fuck up and something happens, you know, you can come back and we can start over. And it is what it is. And I've never looked back since. But I don't know left, right, up, down, what way things would have went if she would have said like, no, you have to go. Like I was getting ready to go to college for graphic design. I was gonna be a fucking like graphic designer. And I would have hated every second of sitting in that class and you know, tell me how to use Photoshop. Like I would have gone crazy. I would have gone absolutely crazy. So having that support, especially from an early age, is really huge. And I hope that's something that a lot of people get to experience, because it's gonna open a lot of doors and really get you to believe in yourself in that whole in that whole area too. I wanted to ask you, going back to the King of the Ring real quick and the importance of it and how you envision it going down and all that stuff, where do you see the Woods character going if you were to win it, after you win it? What's King Woods looking like?
We can talk off camera.
Okay. So you have a pretty deep thought of where King Woods would go.
It's been in my head for at least a decade.
Wow. That's awesome.
Like this is what I want.
Yeah.
Like, and not to say that like heavyweight titles aren't important. They're very, very important. But for me, so like on all this stuff, literally I could break down everything that we do in the New Day and explain to you where it comes from in my childhood. You've seen Slumdog Millionaire?
Yeah. Yeah.
We could do that with New Day.
Yeah. Just reverse engineer every little thing.
So unicorns. And then we'll come back to your question. Sorry.
No, unicorns, right? Take your time.
So one of my closest friends, she was my best woman in my wedding. So in high school, we dated, and she would always talk about this movie called The Last Unicorn, right? Mm. I'm like, I'm not watching this. What is this? Blah, blah, blah. Like, we went back and forth, back and forth. Finally, I sit down and we watch it, and I am blown away.
Yeah?
This group, America, does the whole soundtrack. It's just very, like, eclectic, like, I don't know, like, people going on an adventure. I'm very, like, Lord of the Ringsy. But just, like, everything about it is great, but the whole gimmick is that this is the last unicorn on Earth. And so magic comes from unicorns. And since they're all gone pretty much, the magic has dwindled away.
Gotcha.
And so I've always loved that concept. That's why we don't have magic, because all the unicorns are gone. And so at one point I told that to the guys and I was like, oh my God. When we said it in a promo, like we're like the unicorns of wrestling because we brought the magic back.
Mm.
And then I think the next week I was out and Kofi and E kept it up and they did like the fingers on the head. And then I came, and then I was out. I think I was out the next week too.
So the week later, you got merch. You got the unicorn horn merch. Yeah.
Yeah. That went places. Merch helped us build these unicorn things. And then, props did. And then merch was like, can we do something with this? Can we make this for real?
I think I see something here. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they did. And then unicorns became our like entire aesthetic. So like New Day is literally all built off of like something from our childhoods.
Yeah.
And so for me, another childhood thing, I was obsessed with King Arthur.
Mm.
Like you could not, if there was a King Arthur book, like I was sitting in the corner reading it. If there was a King Arthur show, there was a cartoon about a football team that fell into a sinkhole during a game. And the quarterback became King Arthur, and all his linemen were like his merry men, his knights of the round the table.
Was there a couple of King Arthur movies that came out recently too?
So many. But it's weird because those? Yes and no.
I can't believe I just remember this. Have you ever seen my King Arthur commercial?
Sure. Excuse me.
It was an ad. I'll send it to you. I'll put it on the thing. Yeah. It was an ad for the King Arthur movie, but it was like gaming centric. So like,
yeah.
I was like King Arthur, but the sword or like the sword or whatever was like a controller. I had to pull the controller out of the shit. It was like a whole bit. It was a thing. Okay. I can't believe I've. Oh no, you're looking for it, right?
Of course I am. I love it. What a star.
Look, man.
Look at you.
I do what I can. You know, I try to keep myself in these places, and whatever happens, happens. You know,
my favorite thing is you're like me. Like you're nice. I can't relate you to me. I'll just say you're like you. You're nice. You're humble.
What do you mean you're nice? You're nice and humble.
I'm all right. I'm all right.
Okay.
But as soon as I said King Arthur, you're like, how do I squeeze this commercial on it? I would do the same thing.
Like, okay, there's something here that applies to me. How and where do I place it? Where do I insert it? Let me see. Let me wait. Okay, yeah. Here. Bam.
Yeah. This is natural.
I can't believe
right?
you haven't seen that either. That's funny. Okay. Anyway,
no, I love it.
So King Arthur from your childhood.
So I love King Arthur. Love right? him. And then just like seeing like things dealing with like medieval, like the medieval times and the medieval era and anything that has like those kind of vibes.
Mm-hmm.
You always, there's usually. Usually a situation where the king is like challenged to a fight or somebody wants to like challenge their authority or whatever. Mm. And the king selects a champion to fight for him, right? That tells me champions don't have kings, but kings have champions.
I'm following.
King have more power than the champion. A champion works for a king. A king works for no one. But think about the long, 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 long lineage of people that have held the heavyweight championship, that have held even to this point the universal championship. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Way less people have been king. Way less.
That is true.
Well, like to 12, me,
13 maybe?
Yeah. Like to me the crown is representation of passing the test.
Mm.
The heavyweight championship is a representation of climbing the mountain and beating the person on top. Mm. Extremely important. Yeah. But as an academic, I want to be tested. I want my test. Give me my Scantron, give me my essay, let me present in front of the class. Test me.
Yeah, yeah.
Test me so I can know
right.
if I will pass or fail. So I know, I don't necessarily think that I've earned anything because I have yet to be tested in the way that I feel a king would be tested. And that's why I want it so bad. Because yeah, it's cool to like have the crown and do like a gimmick and all this stuff with it. But on like a deeper note, as like a human, as Austin Watson.
Yeah.
Like I want that test so that I can know. So I've talked all this stuff about King of the Ring and all this stuff, but if I went out and just like underperformed, all right, cool. Now I know. Now and I'll shut up. But like I want
you want to
shot
know.
That to me is it. Winning one match, cool. Mm-hmm. Anybody can win one match on a given day. Yeah. Winning a full tournament in one night, that's not something that happens at random to anyone. Yeah. You know?
Definitely not. And I think if there's anyone, and of course, we talked about bias earlier, of course, I'm going to come off as biased, but I feel like if there's anyone that deserves that after, you know, the lead up and the body of work that they've put in and the consistency that they've done, this might sound kind of weird. Like what you do and how consistent you are with it reminds me a lot of, stick with me here, of like a cane. So cane Kane was literally always there, always working, always solid. No one has ever said a bad word about him. He can go in the ring. He can get you invested in a story. And his base, his whole, I think the whole thing about his whole time in the company was his consistency. He was there. Mm-hmm. He worked. He didn't fuck shit up. He didn't, you know, cause drama. He didn't make anything shitty for anybody else. And he just he went out there and performed the best he could on a consistent basis and did his damn thing. And I think that's a rare compliment that you can give someone in the business, I think, because it's hard injuries and stories and, you know, writing and this and that. It's hard to find that consistency and to get that, that level of always being able to be that guy in that spot. And I think every time that you've been that guy in that spot, you've gone above and beyond what was asked of you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course. And again, people are going to say that I'm biased, but whatever.
That's fine.
I'm glad you said that you're happy with all this because, funnily enough, one of the reasons I called this whole thing Into the Danger Zone is because, like, I did want to touch on like mental health things too, how people are have dealt with their mental health over the last, you know, year and a half, whatever, because a lot of stuff changed for a lot of people. Yeah. So you, as I mentioned, are probably one. You're right?
Yeah, my neck. Sorry, I just got
my neck.
Do you want me to adjust the camera?
No, you're fine. No. This is you know. We just chilling. This is just us. Yeah. Ain't no cameras here. This is us. You put a lot on your plate, more than what's asked of you sometimes. Has that affected your mental health over the last little bit?
3,000%, dude.
Yeah.
It's burning the candle at both ends, which is obviously that makes the wick burn much faster. But in my brain, it's a small sacrifice to not have to feel the extreme anxiety and mental angst of when I eventually have to like hang my boots up and then go, what's next?
Mm.
I'd rather feel the extreme level of stress that I feel now than deal with something that I imagine would be far worse. So like now it's like, cool, I'm stressed because like I'm more tired than I should be because when I get home, I can't get but like a couple hours of sleep a night. And when I'm on the road, it's the same thing because I've got to do, I've got to wrestle. I got to keep the YouTube channel content going. So try to get like as far ahead as we can with all that stuff so I can like catch a break every once in a while. So like this past week was like a mental health week because a lot of stuff happened this week. A lot of highs, a lot of lows, some very scary life stuff occurred. It's just been kind of a mess. And what's interesting is that so Tuesday of this week, we did an episode of our New Day podcast. Check it out on Spotify. And we talked about it was a full episode on mental health. Just to kind of shine a little bit of light on how intense things can be, and not everybody always realizes, and the importance of just like checking in on your friends and people that you love, things like that.
Absolutely.
And even total like strangers, like on Twitter, rather than having these like garbage interactions that people have sometimes, not the majority, sometimes. How much easier it would be to send somebody something positive and then have a nice interaction. Like you're going to feel way better, especially because your face is in your phone, 20 hours a day? Like, you want to spend 17 of that, like frowning?
Just
like,
mad. What's the deal? Yeah.
So, and now I've forgotten completely what we're talking about.
But just, you were talking about the mental health.
So, it's been a lot, but since, you know, again, burning the candle at both ends. So we had this match on Monday. We wrestle for like an hour plus, whatever it is. And then we move forward to like things that happened this week. And it's like, okay, cool. So now we've got to just adjust. It's like, we're always playing chess, constantly playing this very intricate, very important game of chess in order to keep moving forward. And so that it's a lot sometimes, and everything was kind of too much this week. And so I called it and canceled like everything that I had going on. Cause like, I, I've never done this before in the decade that I've been at WWE, but like I need this week. I need to chill. I need a second to breathe. And then next week, everything is ramped up back again.
Okay, we got you double booked for next week, and
which is fine. That's what I asked for. That's what I want. I said, I want to work. I want to earn my paycheck. But I want to do interviews. I want to do phoners. Yeah, but like this week in particular, a lot of things shifted and changed at once, and so it was a lot. And more importantly, like the life stuff occurring. Like if life stuff happens, I have to almost just straight up curse him. I know when I need to take a step back.
Yeah.
For a second. And so it was really good this week to do this. That's why I was like, yeah, I'm down to do it, but let's try like on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, give me a couple of days to like marinate.
Right.
So while I do think that it's really important that I do this, especially because with all the travel and all the stuff. So I have two kids, I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. He just had his birthday. I want to be able to like be there for them as much as humanly possible.
Absolutely.
And so to be able to do all the stuff while I'm wrestling and doing all my stuff in the gaming space, which when I was little, again, going back to like what you want in life, like I wanted to be a wrestler, a pro wrestler. I wanted to make video games and I want to be a kickboxer. After saying I want to be a kickboxer, I quickly realized I don't want to be a kickboxer. That's not for me. And so it dropped down to like working in wrestling and working in video games. So like, again, something that I feel extremely lucky about. So when you bring up like, how do you feel if somebody says this? Like, bro, like I somehow, some way, I have no idea how I was able to do this. I am literally living the exact life that I wanted to live from the time I was 6. I will never understand I was able to do this. Like, so incredibly lucky. Whenever I say that, my grandma says, luck is the intersection of opportunity and skill.
I like that.
She's like, because if people say they're in the right place at the right time. No. You have to put yourself in the right place at the right time. And then when you are in that place, if your skill level isn't enough, you're not going
to
do well.
When that time comes, if you're not ready and where you need to be, luck has nothing to do with it anymore. It's just you weren't ready when it passed you by.
Exactly. And now you're fighting to get another shot. But like, you got yours. I'm not saying that you can't get another one, but like, let that be a lesson. Like, literally always be on your game. So something that Kofi says, like, always keep your sword sharp. Because you don't know when you're going to have to engage in battle. So just like even that. If you don't need to, be ready.
Yeah.
Be ready because you don't know.
I like that a lot.
I might get a call. Like when we get done, they go, cool, one night tournament and you're in it. And I go, if I'm not ready.
Yeah.
Then all this stuff I've been talking is meaningless, you know?
Yeah.
But what it was is Mojo. I don't get ready. I stay ready. That type of thing. Shout out, Mojo. But yeah, it's that same thing with I feel like with mental health, with taking care of your head, you got to gauge what is important to you. And I think this pandemic, this COVID season, as we have deemed it, at least for me, I think it's a combination of COVID season and just getting older. And so we've talked about this, just knowing what is actually important to me. What relationships do I have in my life that I cherish? Am I giving those enough energy?
Yeah.
Am I texting my friends enough? Am I calling them enough? Am I checking in on them to make sure they're okay? Because I know sometimes I'm not okay. And I'll get a random text from you just saying like, hey, how are you feeling? It's like, not good. And then we talk and it's pleasant. It's nice to have that. Yeah. And I know not everybody has that.
Yeah.
But I've wanted to make sure that I'm putting out that energy to the people that I love and care about, which you and obviously like Michelle are people that I love and care about. So it just, I don't know, all of this put a different perspective on it. Being locked down in the house, when I tore my Achilles, like understanding like, okay, who's still talking to me, even though I'm not at work.
Well, I'm not on TV no more. Who's calling me even though I'm not on TV no more?
Yeah, you know? So it's not like a, hey, well, that person's not my real friend. It's like, no, look, we have a certain level of friendship, which is fantastic, but it's not like a level of friendship that like Kofi and E have with me or that like Breeze has with me, you know? So you start to realize, and then COVID hit and it was like, who's talking to me now?
Yeah.
who am I talking to now? So introspective, like,
yeah.
What have I been putting my time into that maybe I shouldn't have been putting my time into? I should have been putting that elsewhere. Like, whether that's like to family, to other friends, to work, to YouTube, like whatever it is, but just trying to recalibrate my mind, because in that analogy of burning the candle at both ends, like if I'm doing it in a way that feels good, then I'm fine with it.
Mm.
Then I'm okay, because I know that there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Like my wick is not going to burn out as long as I'm taking care of myself and doing my best to make sure that the people that are around me, not necessarily just like immediately physically around me, but the people that are around me, like in my circle of trust, I guess, making sure that I'm checking in on them and doing everything that I can to make sure that their experience on this earth is something that they enjoy. Because, and now I'm going to talk even longer and just wax philosophical. I've been really like in my mind the past couple of months trying to figure out like, what is the point of all this? And by this, I mean like life. Like, what's the point? Like, if you're not religious, or you might not think that there's something after this, and you think the lights just turn off and you're gone, like, what's the point? And so I don't know necessarily what I believe in. I think that there's something there.
Yeah.
I think there's something there, something that we can interact with, something that interacts with us, something that has put us here. I don't know what that is. Mm. I have no idea. But the fact that we are here, in my head, I feel like we have to find the meaning in what we're doing. And for me, I think that meaning is doing everything that I can to enjoy what little time I have. I don't know, and not to be more, but I don't know if I'm going to die as soon as I turn off my computer today. I don't know if if I'm going to explode, combust, like spontaneous, like whatever. I could get hit by a bus. Like, you could die at any given moment, any given time. And so that's why I tried to recalibrate and give my time and my love and my effort to the people that matter most to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that made me think like, okay, so if I don't have a lot of time, what do? We have fun. We try to have fun. We try to enjoy this.
Yeah.
So in trying to enjoy this and have fun, and by this, I mean life, I think the purpose of life is to meet other people that you can find love for, then that can find love for you, and trying to enhance their life and help make sure that they have as great an experience on this earth that they can have.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you surround yourself with enough people that you're trying to do that for, now all 10 of those people are trying to do that for you as well. Mm-hmm. It's this mutual relationship of nothing but like the most love.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I know if I have that and I die tomorrow, I'm happy with my time, you know?
You have a responsibility of if you are in that positive position and you know your people in your circle, people that are close to you, people that you have those special relationships with aren't maybe on that same level of happiness that you are. There's definitely a responsibility there to make sure that you're able to even that out. And that's something that I learned a lot too over the pandemic. There's people that I got back in touch with that I haven't been in touch with for a long time. There's people now I talk to on like a weekly basis that I hadn't talked to in years before. And once you understand the perspective of like you said, this is not, we're not going to be here forever. And that's always been, that's always kind of been one of my outlooks of like, I just want to enjoy my time while I'm here. You know, as I try not to take things too seriously. I say that about you as well. Like there's a lot of commonalities we share as far as that goes. But I think it's really important too that people actually hear you say that, someone in your position being like, yeah, of course it's important to talk to your friends about your mental health and talk to them about how you're feeling, because far too frequently we lose people that, you know, could potentially maybe still be here if things had been different, if maybe people had reached out or communication was a little better than it was, you know?
Yeah. It's a lot. People don't realize like what a text can do.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? Cause there's this saying, and I know I keep going to these cliche sayings. Sorry if you can hear these. So there's like an ambulance outside or something.
Oh, damn.
This idea of people won't always remember what you say to them, but they will always remember how you make them feel.
Mm.
And so if I can do what I can do to make sure know that like they are wanted and they are loved, then that's what I'm gonna do. Because and not only not just because I would want that for me, so it's not like a a thing of like, I'm doing this so I get love back. Like, yeah. No. Like, even if I didn't, like, this is someone that I care about. Maybe they're not in the position to do that. Maybe they don't have the whatever they need to have to reach out, because they're not feeling good that day. So like, let me reach out. I might be stronger on Monday than you are, and you might be stronger on Wednesday than I am. So we have to look out for each other. What's the Forrest Gump? You know, when you remember when him and Bubba are sleeping in the rain and they don't have anything to lean up against? And he goes, well, I'll lean up against you and you lean up against me and we'll both like be better off that way. Like, that's legit, like, what it is. Like, I lean on you and you lean on me. And that's why I think our friendship works, because it's not this thing of, like you said earlier, people saying like, oh, we think you use Woods's mediocre fame level to boost yourself. Like, bro, what? Like, Chris is on America's Got Talent. Like, again, I beg him to be my friend. Like, this dude's killing it. it's this mutual respect, this mutual relationship that we have, that I strive to have with everyone that I'm close with, because it's just important. Like, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but like, forget YouTube, forget wrestling, forget Twitter, forget Instagram, forget all this stuff, forget the social media, forget phones, like, forget all this stuff, all this material stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what after that? Because you cannot take any of this with you. So let's say that there is this afterlife, and you get to see everybody that you're cool with, but you're only cool with them because they would bring PlayStation games to you or whatever. You know, like, you don't have that. All you got is nothing. All you have is them. Like, is that enough for you? Yeah. Are you enough for them? Like, have you put the time into this relationship, into this friendship, whatever? Like, for that to be meaningful, or were you just like leeching off of people? Like, what kind of person are you? What kind of friend are you?
It's also important to try to recognize when you're on the receiving end of that too, because there's a lot of people that you might be afraid to cut out of your life because they've either been close to you for so long, or you know, they might be family members or just someone that you've known forever, and now all of a sudden they bring your energy down, they bring your life down, they bring everything about their whole vibe just completely. Put you in a terrible mood in a terrible way. It's like, sometimes you got to find the strength to cut those people off, even if it means losing someone that you were initially very close to,
You got to let go.
Yeah. So with that said, this is the last time we're talking, and I'll see you.
All right, well, thanks for having me on.
okay. Bye. I guess I'll see you around.
Oh, I got to hit like on your commercial. There we go.
Speaking of, I appreciate the support. It is very, no very much appreciated.
Yeah. But yeah, so okay, let me hit another Instagram quote too.
Please do.
So it's and I'm paraphrasing, but it's like, if you hang out with four idiots on purpose, you'll be the fifth idiot. If you hang out with four gangsters on purpose, you'll be the fifth gangster. Hang out with four assholes on purpose, you'll be the fifth asshole. You hang out with four successful, good people, you'll be the fifth successful, good person. So it's what you choose to surround yourself with. Another reason that I begged you to be my friend. Because I met a lot of people, of people who are in YouTube, a lot of people who are in entertainment. And you can tell, like, we all have this radar.
Yeah.
This BS radar, you know?
Yeah.
Of like, why someone wants to talk to you or why you want to talk to them. That's the introspection. Like, look at yourself too. Like, why are you wanting to be friends with someone?
Exactly.
And so for me, it was two things. Like, you were like one of the most genuine people that I had met, like, in this space. And I was like, oh, dope. And then you were super educated about it, and I'm always trying to learn. So for me, it was twofold. It was like, this guy is really cool, and I think that we would be like, we could be like friends. This would be great. But then also, like, I can really learn from him. This is really cool to me, like, learning all these aspects of this stuff. So you're saying, like, you're showing me, like, analytics and things. I didn't even know that stuff existed. I had no clue. I thought people just put videos up and were like, yeah, cool. Did it hit a million views? All right, I got some money. Like, cool. I didn't know how it worked.
Did it hit a million views?
People like you, people like Greg Miller helped me, like, immensely. Like, you guys are the two people, like, that I've met in the space that, like, from day one, and not saying that like other people weren't helpful or that I didn't learn a lot from other people, but like, we built these friendships that like we still have, that I feel like we have this bond that will last forever.
Absolutely.
And the flip the flip side of it is it's a great bond, an amazing friendship, but we all get something out of it.
Mm.
So like
there's nothing wrong with surrounding yourself and teaming with people who like who want each other to win and are going to support each other in their attempts to win and yeah. all and want to do what they can to help each other get to that place. It's funny you mentioned that, like a lot of this like wrestling gaming community, like a lot of us have been very separate for a very long time, and it's not mm-hmm. a very big community, like you know that. Mm-hmm. So we've been really working hard a lot on you know trying to collaborate on similar content and do these different types of things, because the more you bring up the people around you, the more the thing about the ship rising tide,
yeah,
and the ship
rising tide raises all ships.
Yeah, when the ships be rising, the tides be tiding. I think is the other. I think that's the alternate.
Put that on a shirt. That's
the alternate version. But it's like knowing that you have that support from your friends and from the people around you is pretty big.
Yeah,
it's
a lot. It's hard. It's hard to believe in yourself sometimes.
Yeah, it can be. It absolutely can be. I feel like those relationships are really important.
Yeah, because I feel like it's even harder to reach out for help.
Yeah,
because especially when you're the kind of person who has purposely surrounded themselves with successful people, and you see them succeeding, and you see them grinding and hustling, and you see them like gaining notoriety, like rising in fame, whatever, and like you want to do the same thing. But I've been in many situations where I feel like I can't reach out and like ask for help because I don't want them to like think weird of me or anything like that.
Bro,
I want them
to think that I'm
preaching, you know. So like,
yeah,
right. But the thing is, like, you need that, because a lot of times, again, if your friends or people around you like don't necessarily realize, or they don't necessarily always reach out, doesn't mean that they don't care for you in that way. They just might not be in that mindset yet. You know, they might not be at that point in life yet. So it's very hard to reach out to ask for help, more than just like a hey hello. It's like a hey, I know you're super busy and I don't want to be a bother, because you always feel like a bother when you do it, you know. It's inevitable. Hey, you don't want to waste your friend's time, but like your real friends will be there for you, and I feel like your real friends will see your essentially like your cry for help. And I can't tell you how many times I've been there and wanted to be stubborn and like, no, I'm strong enough to do this by myself. And it's like, dude, like you don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Even if it's just like, I don't know, like reaching out to a parent, a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, like somebody on Twitter, like someone's going through something similar or has been. And even if you put yourself out there and nothing comes of it, I know it hurts and it sucks to feel like no one is listening to you or like no one cares. But again, easier said than done. You have to just keep trying.
Yeah. The feeling of reaching out or at least knowing that you tried versus the regret of damn, I could have, maybe I should have. It's those are two. You really got to think about which of those feelings you would rather have. The temporary, oh, that didn't go like I thought. Oh, now I feel kind of bad. Or the everlasting, damn, I wish I would have done something different.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, I think it's about having the foresight to be able to tell when you're in one of those situations. And again, like we said, you surround yourself with the right people, it makes that easier to do. I know one of the reasons I specifically wanted to talk about mental health with you, and I know you don't have to go into this any more than you may or may not want to. I know a couple people that are very close to you aren't able to work with you anymore, and a lot of things have changed in that dynamic. You are nothing if not adaptable for as long as I've known you. What is your plan kind of going forward for up, up, down, down, and for the direction of your content and kind of this new space you've been put into without necessarily asking for it?
That was one of the things that happened this week. It's just it's taking a break because I guess every year and a half, I sit down like with my team and you've been at these dinners where we go to like the Brazilian steakhouse and we just get we have this, it's me
Remember when I broke my tooth on? Didn't I break my tooth on like a French fry one night?
Yes.
And
yes,
oh my god, that whole okay. Now I know what you're talking about. All right. But I got bad flashbacks about these meetings now.
But that was what we would do when like a new person was on the team. Because for me, as much as I might like you, I can't fully trust you until you stand next to me in battle.
Yeah.
Once something goes down and you're standing next to me and we're fighting together, then yeah. I can trust you. Other mm-hmm. than that, you're an acquaintance,
mm-hmm.
Which is not a bad thing.
No,
but just like when I know that I can't call you yet,
yeah.
you haven't had that, and so that's what the dinners usually are. When there's a new person on the team, mm-hmm. we'll take them and we'll talk, and I'll explain like this is how I work. If that's something that like you're not interested in, that's totally okay. But I just want everybody to pull their weight. I'm going to do everything I can to pull my weight. I'm going to try to create as much content as possible. I want to work hard. I want to make fun stuff. I want to be creative. I want you to have ideas. I want to use your ideas too. I want you to be able to speak to me, speak to the whole team. I want you to feel comfortable. So like, so don't ever be like, oh, I just got here. I don't want to speak up. No, like forget that. Like,
yeah,
we are all one. And even close if mouth, all your ideas, that. Yeah, exactly. if even if all your ideas are trash, like we love that you have them because yeah. they could spark something better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want people who are creative and fun and want to have a good time and make fun content. So like when we do those, we sit and brainstorm. And so it's just meat and drinks and we have the most outlandish ideas and they're ridiculous, but we try to revamp the channel to, cause we know like once we've got viewers locked in, eventually we get to a point where like we have that personal relationship and not yeah. that it was like, they'll like watch all the content that we bake, but we know what kinds of content that people will kind of gravitate to. So we
yeah.
know we have,
yeah.
we have wrestling fans, obviously. But our the point of the channel is to bring in gaming fans, turn them into wrestling fans, and then have them watch Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
That's literally my whole purpose of creating this channel amongst making sure that people who are on the show or not on the show, because they don't have matches, have a chance to express themselves in the way that they fully want to be perceived.
Yeah.
So that hopefully people have another outlook on them, whether they're so if they're on the show, so guys like Corbin, for instance, you know, at times people despise him. They cannot stand him, but they see him on up and they go, oh
yeah.
Okay. Like, you know what? Yeah. I'll boo this guy because it's what I'm supposed to do on the show and all this stuff. But like, this is an interesting, like good dude. You know what yeah. I mean? And so even just giving people opportunity to do stuff like that. So like seeing like Ricochet on the channel or like Tozawa, like you used to play Gang Beast, like with Harper and stuff, like seeing all the yeah. seeing people like in real life, is it makes it super fun for us because wrestling is a very closed down, it's a fraternity, you know.
Yeah,
we have our ways and our things, but a lot of those things are like don't document things because like everything is like behind the curtain, which is which is cool, perfect. But because of up down, like now we have this open source thing that yeah. everybody on the roster can use, and we have this backlog of memories of yeah. us interacting, not as our characters, but us as humans, AKA this podcast that you have. It's not an interview.
Yeah.
We're just talking. And yeah. that's kind of what I wanted Up, Down, Down to be, because
yeah.
I know that for me, like I stated, like I touched on earlier, attaching my self-worth to how I was booked on a show about wrestling is a very weird and specific thing to do to get depressed about.
Yeah.
So I know like I'm not the only person who's ever been in that position. I'm not the only one who was currently in that position at the time. And so this was my creative outlet
yeah.
to make me not feel that way, to know I have worth and I'm going to show it like this. So if I can create a boat that we can all sail on, so
yeah.
everyone goes, yes, I'm a professional wrestler. Yes, I take bumps for a living, but that's not all that I am.
Yeah.
That is not all that I am worth.
Yeah.
Now we're able to do so many more things. So for instance, Breeze, we're trying to figure out like what's going on there. We don't know yet, but he's still able to do certain things. And like I said, we'll figure out where all that stuff lands. But minus the channel, like he would have just been gone, you know? And that would have crushed so many of us.
Yeah.
And so the fact that we have this to be able to go, hey, you know what? I might not wrestle here anymore, but I have worth in another way that has nothing to do yeah. with wrestling that you guys are still interested in. So again, to give, it's not like a full safety net. I don't want to say that, but to, it's like, I don't know. I don't know another term. So it's like a little bit of a safety net. If you can build it for yourself, then you feel a little more confident when you walk in. You feel not brazen, but you feel less anxiety about your position, I guess. And in wrestling, that happens a lot, where people are anxious about, like, I'm losing my spot, or the legends are coming back, I'm not going to be on the show. Like, okay, cool. Like, all that is fine. We've got this as well. So you can show worth when you're in your wrestling gear, and you can show worth as like a human person, you know. And that worth is not something that's only worth something to WWE. That's worth something to people who make movies, people who make television shows, people who are in the gaming space. Isn't Netflix like about to go into the gaming space with stuff?
Apparently,
So now there's all these open doors where you don't have to go and say, hey man, let me put together some sort of thing so I can start showing people. It's like, oh no, like, here's some clips from up that I can use of me, like, as a regular person. I can maybe show some of those, you know. So for that, for just memories, so one of the things that made me really realize this, and I know I'm so long-winded, I'm sorry, was when Brody passed, a lot of us, we obviously going through our camera roll and our videos and stuff, like, of us traveling and being able to go back on up and see, like, him and his son, like, we did a father son tournament, like, seeing everybody like interact with him, was, it was so cool to be able to see it. We wouldn't have that otherwise, you know. So it kind of
you're good.
It kind of creates this space that's like it's real for us, you know, and it means something. It's so much more than it was when it started. And that really, really hit home with me, that like, this is something that's important. This is something that we need, that we have to have. And so, and so it's cool to see it grow into something that's not just for me.
Yeah.
It's like exactly what I wanted to build. It's something for everybody if they want to use it, you know?
And this was yours. You were the ground zero. You were the point man, the idea guy. Like, this all came together because of the vision that you had. So, and I know that you're not going to sit there and pat yourself on the back for it. So I'm going to do it for you. That you, like, you built something that rippled throughout the industry that you're in. Up, up, down, down was I think it was like a flag to people all across different companies and everything, say like, hey, we all kind of have this similar love for this thing and these games and these nerdy things and whatever. And hey, look, it's okay to talk about it. And it's okay to like start building these relationships and these little, maybe call, like, your sub fandoms or whatever you want to call it, where you now have this following that you're able to share something in common with, versus, oh, I just like him because he's on a wrestling show. Were the seismic activity that rippled throughout everything to make that happen. So I want to make sure that you know that you did something really great. And obviously a lot of credit goes to a lot of the people that work behind the scenes on the show. A lot of those guys and girls that I know personally, I love to death, that have been there, you know, from the beginning. But it wouldn't be what it is without Austin Creed. So as I just want to make sure that you knew.
Well,
that.
I appreciate that. I feel like the person who made the ripples was Ryder, Zach, with his YouTube.
As far as creating a YouTube person. Yeah, no, I would agree with you on that. Absolutely.
I took a lot of pages out of his book, and I talked to him a lot on, like, what to do, what not to do, what not to sign, what not to put out there, you know. So, like, a lot of his knowledge, a ton of his knowledge, helped me build what I currently have. So I hear people say, like, oh, you know, you were like the first, like, no.
Yeah,
I just happened to see what someone else did and thought that maybe there's something there in this space for me as well. So I don't feel like a pioneer or anything like that.
In the gaming space, I would say absolutely. You know, and this is not to discredit what Cardona did, because he's like, he did something crazy. He got, like, Oh yeah, he got himself over to like, yeah, not to say he had no right to, but they weren't doing anything for him on TV. He didn't like, there's no reason for him to have gotten as popular as he did. He created this YouTube channel and he was himself and people liked it and people enjoyed it. And that was like, you're absolutely right. That was one of the, probably yeah. the first instance of that. But for you specifically in the gaming space, because look how many wrestlers have Twitch channels now. Look how many wrestlers have specific gaming outlets. And I think, don't take the credit away from yourself too much. That's all it's, I'm saying.
But it is such like a group groundswell thing. Cause like,
sure.
Like even if there's, how do I say this? So there's so many people, like you said, that like, that have a Twitch, that are doing YouTube stuff now. And that's kind of like all I really wanted. Like I never like made this. I didn't make the channel. I didn't even have the idea to make the channel. I wanted to do a show that was like a travel channel show where, because as you know, every city that we go to, I find an arcade bar and I go. So I wanted to do a show where it's like, hey, you're in Chicago, go to Gallop and Ghost. It's not an arcade bar, but it's the largest arcade in the world. So you should be there. You know, when you're in Milwaukee, go to Up Down. When you're in, what is it? Which one's higher? San Francisco. I think there's one like called Coin Op up there. There's, Barcade is an actual chain, so we can't call them all Barcades. Yeah. There's Barcades in like New York, and like the New York City area. Like they're all over the place. I found a Barcade or an arcade bar in Chile, in Santiago.
Damn,
so underground because I think it was there. I'm pretty sure it was somewhere in South America. Yes, it definitely was. So you can't have like arcade bars because I think. There's some weird law, and please someone look this up and tell me if I'm wrong or not, where you can't have arcade games because they're considered gambling. So you can't like, it's a weird thing. And so what this person did is they found a bunch of arcade machines like in a dump somewhere, I'm pretty sure. Mm. And they refurbished a bunch of them, put them in this space. And in order to enter the club, quote unquote, you have to have a membership. And there's nightly parties for members. And to be a member is like X amount of dollars. So you can go in, drink, hang out. There's like a DJ, you can dance, and there's arcade machines, but it's not an arcade bar. I'm like, this is genius. But that's awesome. To find it, I had to go through like search on Google like I normally do, couldn't find anything. And then I ended up finding something like on Reddit, like, hey, this is the address for like this low-key, kind of like a speakeasy arcade bar. And I was like, what? So I got this is dumb me. Not telling anybody anything, jumped in a taxi, drove like 20 minutes.
Take me here, driver.
Yeah. Looking for this place. I can't even find the door. It's like a hidden in the wall.
No.
And I like knock and I speak like a little bit of Spanish.
Sure.
I spoke enough to like get me in the door and like showed them like, hey, like this is what I do. Like, oh, cool, come in. Paid my like fee and had a good time. So like I want to talk about places like that
because
people don't know. So many people don't know they exist. They might not be on a strip where there's a ton of bars or a ton of foot traffic, but that's what I wanted to do.
That'd be a great show.
So I pitched that for the network. They said no. I was like, okay.
No, you good.
Cool, whatever. There's a guy who was on the office side of things trying to make a YouTube channel with one of the talent, and he heard about what I was doing, and he was like, hey, can we mash these together? And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's try it. This is the thing that people do. Let's see if we can. And then we talked to the office for like a little over a year about it before we got the green light, because it was very much them wanting like we were still like kind of behind the curtain way more than we are now.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, well, if we see, for instance, like Rusev was with us. If we see Rusev, he's got to be angry and like a destroyer and stuff. And I was like, that's not interesting. I don't like that. So I can't do the channel if it's going to be something like that.
Right.
So once we got the green light and convinced him like, no, like, please let me do this. Please let me just have everybody be themselves. Like, trust me, like this outlet will be incredible for everybody on the roster. And so they let us do it. And then we started the episodes and it worked. And so that for me, like was the first win of like, can we get the channel off the, like started like, cool. And then once we did it, I was like, Oh no, I don't know what I'm doing. And that's about the time I ran into you.
Yeah.
And you helped me along with all this stuff. And then talking to, again, like Greg Miller, like helped me along with this stuff. Like, and then figuring out like my travel setup, you know, how like in the military people and their rifles, they'll like take them apart, put them back together and see how fast they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I would sit at home with my travel setup, see how fast I could set it up and tear it down.
I believe it.
It sounds ridiculous, but because I did that, because there'd be times at arenas, like, it wasn't like, hey, WWE's got a YouTube channel, everybody get on board and help out. It was like Woods has this channel he's doing, and that was it.
It's like, okay, so like, do you think? Yeah.
Yeah. So like I would find like random janitor's closets because all the rooms would be taken, or it's like,
yeah,
hey, these four people are here and they need this enormous space because they're gonna eat grapes and they'll be on the show for six seconds. And it's like, mm-hmm. cool, like I've got something that I'm trying to do. Like, can I please like help money be made? So I would find like a janitor's closet, clear it all out, like hide all the stuff somewhere else, set up a table in there, set my stuff up as fast as possible, try to grab people. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, I've got a 20-minute match. I can't do anything. Oh, crap. What are you doing? Nothing. I got to do these phone interviews. I can't do anything. Ah, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. Oh, my God. Can you come and let me interview for 20 minutes? Yeah, sure. We do that. Then here comes the janitor, and he needs his closet. And I go, oh, crap. So now I got to tear down my stuff as fast as I can. When I'm done with the interview, take the table out, put all the stuff back, and let him get to work. You know, so like, and then on top of like, and I've got a match as well that night. So like, it's nothing but like hectic chaos, and I love it.
I know you do. I know you do.
And people can see it because like throughout the backgrounds when we like first started, you could see we'd be in a random gym or we'd be in a random tiny room or we'd be like outside, or it's like at one point like me and Goldust were like playing Pokemon Go. It's like we have like a social media person following us while I'm trying to get all this stuff. But I think people think like everything is so crazy planned out, and like no. It's me grabbing somebody and then I hit record like 4 minutes later and we're off and we're just doing whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
So
you guys have your special episodes and your, you know, presentations and stuff, but I know the majority of it is you just being like, hey, for the next couple of weeks, this is what we're playing, this is what we're doing, you know, when we're here, I'm gonna try to get somebody in. It's a lot of moving parts. I think it's more than, I'm not gonna sit here and say that YouTube is a hard job necessarily. I'm not gonna sit there and say that. But at the same time, it's time consuming. It's very time consuming.
And think about it from your perspective. Like you say that you don't want to say YouTube's a hard job because you're the one doing it and you don't want to try to get people to be like, you're not trying to make a pity party. But like from what you do, just so people know, like, Chris, how long have you been on YouTube?
I've been doing it full time for like 6 years, almost 7 years, maybe 6 years.
Almost 7 years. That means 52 weeks in a year times seven. That's a lot of that's a big number. So you have to, how many videos do you drop a week?
Nowadays, at least like three or four.
At least three or four videos a week.
But for a good 3.5 years, I was uploading every single day. I didn't miss one day of uploads for like 3 years in a row.
So even if we just go on the lesson of that, a video every day for 3 years in a row, 365 days times three, that's a big number. You were not only sitting filming content, you were on a microphone trying to engage and be entertaining, and then what did you edit all yourself?
I edited everything. Yeah. No, back then, but I was editing everything. Yeah.
Yeah. You're editing everything yourself. Thumbnail. You don't know if it's going to work when you start, but you put your full ass into it. I don't know if people understand how difficult it is to be creative for that long, not get burnout, not want to quit doing whatever it is you're doing. Think about shows like South Park that have been on once a week for a season. A season is what, 12, 15 episodes, maybe 20, like if it's crazy. And then you get to take a break.
Yeah.
Right? For what? 8 months? And minimum. For them, it's wild because they work up until like launch day. So like they're insanely creative with like a full team of people. You are one person. You're one man doing all of this. Sunny in Philadelphia, show's been on for over a decade. They're still cranking out content. They're trying to create new stuff. It's so hard to be creative in that sense. Yeah. You have to be creative the full year. You don't get a break. That is, just to express to people how insanely difficult that is. How insanely difficult it is for TV shows, again, like South Park and Sunny, to do that with a full team of people.
Yeah.
You're doing it by yourself. You're editing by yourself. You're creating content by yourself. You're being creative by yourself. You're writing scripts by yourself. Like, the things that you do amaze me. So to anyone who doesn't realize that YouTube is a difficult job, like, Just play that sound clip. You don't know what goes into the life of like a YouTuber, the things they have to do. Because if you put a video out and people don't rock with it, you now have to pivot and think like, oh, what does my audience want?
What do they want?
When you're talking about like wrestling content, we had that conversation.
Yeah.
So you getting kind of burnt out and want to do something else, but not sure if people are going to rock.
there's a handful of times where I was literally just like, yeah, I don't think I really want to do this anymore. I was like, I don't know what direction I want to go in. I'm not feeling it. But luckily, and honestly, I gotta give props to a good amount of people. So my friend Brandon, you've met Brandon mm-hmm. before.
Yeah.
He just like,
sorry, he always thinks that I don't remember him.
Like, I'm ready. Do you remember me? I feel like, yeah. I feel like y'all met like probably four or five times at this point.
Yeah, but then it was going on. I was like, oh, I thought, you know, I didn't know if you'd remember me. And I'm like, no, of course I do.
So it was really funny. Well, not funny, I guess, in the normal sense, but like our quarantine time went completely opposite. I was really just like, I'm not feeling it. YouTube, I'm barely putting any time into it. Not digging it as much. I'm uploading like maybe once a week for a little bit. I was uploading all type of stuff. And meanwhile, he like started studying and doing all stuff. And he starts going like this. And I start going like this. And then we start talking to each other a lot more. And he's like, help me with stuff. He's like, Chris, I know, like, you know, do you, what's up? And blah, blah, blah. And then we would just go back and forth forever with ideas. And it helped rejuvenate that whole, you know, spice to do yeah. the YouTube stuff. Like, for a while, it was just so mundane and so dumb. So, and again, that circles back to just having the right people around you, because now we're in a situation where like I'm motivating him to get higher views. He's motivating me to get higher views. And it's like just helping the people that are around you is very important, especially in the YouTube game, because it's a little not forgiving. If I want to take an 8-month break, but no one's probably ever going to hear about me ever again. You just gonna be like, oh, he quit. You don't need to see his videos ever again. Like, that's, they're a little unforgiving with that. But I appreciate you saying it's difficult though, because it does have its ups and downs.
It's something that I didn't necessarily realize, because again, being so ignorant to the YouTube space before I jumped in it, not that I was like, oh no, YouTube is easy. We just do a video. People watch it. It's fine. We make money. Like whatever. Like, I didn't understand all of the moving pieces that go into being not only a successful YouTuber, but just a YouTuber in general, because you could do all the right things and not find any success on YouTube. Absolutely. You know, but that same exact person with that same exact formula could murder it on Twitch. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's so strange. And through that, I realized like cut up videos are fine. They're great. But live streaming is, I like it so much more because I know I don't necessarily have to be on. When you're doing a VOD, you got to be on, because you know someone's going to click this and go, is this entertaining for like the 8 minutes that I'm watching it, or for the 25 minutes I'm watching it? If it's a live stream, I can just talk to people.
Yeah.
I can be low key. I don't have to be, hey, welcome to Up Up Down Down. It's your host. Hey, what's up, guys? I know all of you have been, we were here yesterday while I've been playing this game. Yeah. Let's keep playing it. And then we just ask questions and we chat. And then being able to cut that down into something that's usable, because there will be the big moments, is I like that format a lot more than just
I understand that. Sure. Yeah. No, like the same thing with me. It's like this podcast thing. It's like there's so many different ways that it could go or that it could have gone. But I know for a fact that I'm not going to sit down and go, ladies and gentlemen, blah, 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 blah. I know like that's not what I want it to be. I want it to be for people who, whether they like my content or not, maybe they don't like the content, but they're like, hey, I wouldn't mind, you know, hearing more stuff from this dude. Then that's what this is. This is just like, this is us just doing stuff. This is me just talking to people that I respect and that I want to, people that I want to put over and then like give some flowers to and all that stuff.
You know, it would be so dope.
Oh my God. What?
The day you drop the episode, if that week you can do a follow-up on Twitch. So anyone who listened to it can then you do like another hour with the person, but just on Twitch live. So people can ask questions. Hey, you talked about this on the podcast. Boom. Can you elaborate on that a little more? And then you guys just flow.
Damn. All right. Well, don't be giving that right way business ideas on air like that.
Okay. Well, I mean, you cut it out. You
got it in this. Well, circle back to that one. No, I like that a lot, though. That's actually really cool. I do want to ask you, though, before I let you go, because I don't want to take up too much of your afternoon here. Why? Can you tell me why you think Uber Black is better than regular Uber?
You know what? I will never, ever succumb to your Uber Black status. So let me tell you guys this story. So I feel like I'm an average Joe, you know, out here living life. I say, you know, let's get an Uber somewhere. I've switched to Lyft. Cause like you can attach your Delta profile to your Lyft and you get miles for Delta when you ride Lyft.
That's pretty sick.
Every dollar you spend.
That's pretty sick, actually.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think it's like for every dollar you spend, you get a mile, but on trips to the airport, it's like double.
Mm. That's so kind of like
I've been racking up miles.
Man, but yeah, I've been lifted.
But I try to call an Uber and Chris goes, oh, you got the Uber? I said, yeah, the car will be here in like a few minutes. He goes, did you get Uber Black? I said, no, why would I spend like 30 extra dollars to go to the same place?
And we don't 30 extra dollars.
Peak times, dude.
Look. So here's the thing. When we're when we're driving places, I don't like driving places to begin with. I think if I have to sit in somebody else's car, like, yeah, I got some friends with me and we can chat about whatever. That's just I don't want to do that. So my objective is to make the trip as comfortable and as enjoyable as possible. And I think with the option of Uber Black, where you have a driver who, first of all, has a background check and it, you know, is not just going to be someone that's going to drive me off the road, off of a bridge. I don't know. The cars are always clean. They always smell nice. They open the door. I think you think it's like a flex thing. I think you think when like when we first started hanging out and I start calling Uber Black, so I'm like trying to impress or something. But like I told you, that's what we always do. That's like how I travel.
We or you?
Me mostly. Like Michelle too is the same way. Like she'll be like, oh, do we have to get Uber Black? But I'm like, yeah, I mean, you know, let's just have a nice little ride. I think there's a lot of worse things I could be doing with my money than spending it on a car that smells nice. But
so you are kind of bougie.
So you're a trader now, though. You're Lyft instead of Uber Black, and that's unfortunate to hear.
Dude, the Delta miles.
It seems worth it, though. I'm not gonna rag on
you. I'm a Delta guy. I live in Atlanta, and so Delta has directs pretty much everywhere.
Mm.
And so it's funny too because I'll be going to a show. Or appeared or something, and I'll see a bunch of other people because they're connecting in mm-hmm. Atlanta. And I go, oh, mm. What time did you get up? 4 a.m.?
Oh. You have a layover? Mm. Oh, you're here for a layover? Oh. Mm. Mm.
I just walked in. I've got clear pre-check as well, so really slid through security with my full up-up-down-down studio and my bass guitar and amp. No worries.
And my gear yeah. checked.
I checked 7 minutes ago. Now I'm at the gate. How are you guys doing this morning?
Sick. but I'm bougie. Okay, I'm the bougie one.
Hey, this is just a perk to living in ATL, dude. That's all. I'm an innocent bystander.
So I want people, obviously, to when they listen to these episodes, the objective is to obviously show the person who I'm talking to as most love as possible. We'll plug your socials and stuff so that everybody knows where to find you if they don't know where to find you already. However, I definitely want to talk to you real quick about this Netflix thing because you're doing a Netflix show that stars the three of you and The Undertaker. Not a whole lot of information is out about it, but it seems really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
What can you say about
it? I saw that on Twitter too.
Wait. No.
I legitimately don't know what I can say about it, so I can't say anything.
Okay.
I will say I saw pictures online that says that on October 3rd, I believe, there's like a Netflix thing with us and The Undertaker. The pictures look really dope.
They do.
So, I hope people enjoy it. And if I get clearance to talk about anything, then I can come and give you a soundbite.
That's interesting. I mean, okay, all right.
They haven't started doing any press for it yet involving us. So I don't know what I can say about it.
Understandable.
But I will say this will be, one of the coolest things that WWE has ever put out.
That's the vibe that I'm getting from it. Cause like what I read about it, I'm like, holy shit, this actually sounds really sick. And the fact that it's like, that is you three, I know it's going to be funny. And like, I think it's going to be good. I'm excited about it. So
yeah.
Well, I hope, what's the title of it? What's it called?
I'm not sure.
All right.
I legit don't, this is me being 100 with you. I legit don't have no clue what I can even say about it.
Okay.
I saw the pictures and I was very excited. It looks dope. October 3rd, Netflix. Like there I said, I'll give somebody a call and then see what I can say about it, if anything. But I would love to talk to you about it.
I can't wait till you're able to talk to me about it. Any more acting in the near future? Anything similar to that? Or maybe other.
I mean, that's the goal. That's what I'm shooting for. I'm trying to host everything. I'm trying to host every game show.
I know hosting is always a big thing for you, but like specifically like a Netflix thing or like a speaking role in something, things like that.
My dream, I keep trying to add things. So like I say, I have goals, and I feel like to me goals are like short term things. Like dream is like the larger overarching thing. So like dream, I want to be a pro wrestler. Check, got it. Dream, when to get a PhD. Didn't necessarily get it, which I can explain that really quick too, because people think I have it. So I don't have a PhD. Long story short, the school I was at really didn't do right by a lot of the students, and I had to leave. So right before I got finished the PhD program, but I was at the very end of it. It was a long story, long spiraling 6 months of one of the deepest, darkest depressions I've ever had in life. Moving on. So I said, let me put my energy into a YouTube channel. So, okay. And I completely lost my train of thought. Okay.
And then Netflix. No, for acting and goals, dreams.
Yes. So the dream now is to please someone give someone money to make Sky High 2.
Oh my God. Yes.
Incredible movie, right?
That movie rules.
Incredible. It does not get the clout that it should.
I love it.
I want to be a character in Sky High 2.
That's a great goal and dream.
That's the goal. I know that I'm probably not the best actor. I need to work on my skills. But again, if I land at that intersection of opportunity and skill, I will be prepared.
There you go.
In the best manner that I can. So I can walk into an audition and go, yes, I will take the role of gym teacher in Sky High 2. Thank you. No speaking. That's fine. I'll be in the back teaching kids how to play dodgeball. Thank you.
No, I need you to have a speaker role. You gotta have a speaker role on Sky High. Bro, that movie legit rules. You know what reminds me a lot of Sky High? At least when I first started watching it, Invincible. You watch Invincible?
Oh, yeah.
That ruled. That was really good. That was
great. Insane. I got all the comics over here. Freaking awesome.
Oh, damn. Look at you.
Somebody, did you watch My Hero Academia?
No.
So
I'm not big into like the other anime type stuff. Like I really haven't watched. I've been wanting to like look for a series that I can be like, hey, this is pretty fucking cool, but I don't know what that would be.
I think one that would be fun to try for you, especially because I feel like you're set more, your feet are set more in the real world. I feel like if you checked out,
not necessarily.
To an extent, to a small extent, I feel like
as far as my entertainment consumption, I think it's, I'm pretty open to a lot of times. A lot of times the crazier and the stupider and the wackier, the better. When it comes to stuff that I like, sometimes,
Okay, well, perfect, because this anime wins in both those categories. So it's called Case Closed.
Okay.
It's been going on for years. It's like one of the longest running anime. I'm pretty sure it's still going. So what happens is there's this kid named Conan Edogawa. He's in high school, and he's about to like graduate and become like, he's like the greatest detective of all time, right? He constantly helps the police.
Second greatest detective of all time. Great, that's cool.
Foaming at the mouth for him to graduate, right? So he ends up running into these guys in the first episode that like end up, he gets like knocked out. They pour this serum into his mouth that's supposed to like kill him, I think. But it ends up turning him into a child. So he turns into like an 8-year-old, whatever. So now,
a little Benjamin Button type action.
Yeah. So everyone's looking for him. They think he's gone. The girl who's his best friend that he had feelings for that he couldn't talk about because it's a TV show. And she liked him too. And it's like that whole like Mulder Scully thing.
And now he's got the baby dick. That's damn.
He's just essentially a baby. So, like, long story short, like you can watch this if you're interested. He ends up like living with like her and her dad
As their baby.
No, just like as the kid they're taking care of.
Okay,
there's a long explanation, and it makes sense. And so her dad is a detective, right? But he's really a private eye. He's just really trash at it. So what happens is he gets the call. Every single episode, it's just like Law and Order. Something happens at the beginning, and then the dad gets the call, and then the kid, Conan, the small kid now, he somehow gets the green light to go with them. And then he sees everything and figures out what happened. Then he puts old boy to sleep, and he's got a voice changer wristwatch. So everyone thinks that the private eye is solving the crime, but it's a whodunit every single time, just like Law and Order. And it is, they'd have like hundreds of episodes. It's so good.
That sounds pretty great. It's a baby so with a voice good. Box solving crime sounds like my next new favorite show. And to it's be
like, sometimes it's like, sometimes they're too, like, you know how Law and Order is, it, Law and Order is good. But when there's like a two-part Law and Order, you're like, let's go.
You know it's going to be good.
Bro, when they get to the end and it says like to be continued, it's like an orgasmic experience. You're like, oh my God, we have another half hour of this. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Sick.
So I think you would like that.
All right. I'm gonna keep my eye out for that. I'm gonna keep my eye out for that. I appreciate the recommendation.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate it.
Austin, I am gonna hit you with this. We're gonna do a quick, I got a couple just things I jotted down before we started. Just a couple quick little speed round. Just a little quick, just okay. So don't think, right? Okay. Don't spend a lot of time on it. Just question, answer, boom. And then that's it. And then I'll let you go. Then you can pause.
My problem with this?
Go ahead.
When someone cues it up like this, there's only one thing that pops into my head and then it stays and I can't think of anything else. So go ahead.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like when someone tells me like, oh, you got to just say whatever comes to your mind first. My mind then preloads something and that's the only thing that's in my head. So I have to try to skip past it.
I see. Well, hopefully I'll...
So let's go.
Okay, hopefully I'll hit you out of left field and you won't know what to say. Okay, here we go. I remember, quick as possible.
Yeah.
What's something you only started doing once you started making really good money?
Buying all the arcade machines I can.
Most overrated video game franchise?
Oh, God, I have no idea, sir. I don't know. I can't say that. I don't know. And I don't know if they'll eventually be a sponsor. I'm not going to dump on anybody.
Doesn't have to be a current one. It could be one that's old and doesn't exist anymore.
I legit don't even know. Franchise? It's, Bro, I don't know.
All right. Well,
I'd have to actually think.
I know you got some gaming sponsors. I'll let you pass on that one.
and I can only think of stuff that I like.
Sure. Yeah, I understand. All right, fine. I'll let that one go. Okay. Sable or Sunny?
Why? Why?
Growing up, were you a Sable person or a Sunny person?
Oh.
Because you Sable, usually chose one.
I had much more exposure to Sable.
Okay, that's fair. I agree. What did you what? I don't know. What? We're not getting those questions.
Yeah.
Let's keep it going. Worst era of wrestling. What's the worst era of wrestling?
I'll say the first era, because every era gets better because we're able to stand on the shoulders of the giants before us to see further, and the next generation will stand on ours, and they will see further and be better than us, and in 10 generations, they'll be better than that one. So there we go.
I'm going to get you one of these days. You have the book, and you can put the title on anyone you want except yourself. Who gets it?
Taro.
I fucking love that answer. Chicken or beef?
Chicken.
What would you rather take? A Rikishi stink face or a Mankind off the cell through the table? By God, he's broken in half.
Oh my God, Mankind.
Yeah?
He's so dope.
That would be dope, terrifying. You said?
Yeah.
From the top of the cell to the, through the table or onto the ring, into the hard ring, you think that would be dope?
Yeah. You know why?
You want to do that.
You know why?
Why?
Okay, am I allowed to give an explanation? Like,
please?
Sure.
I mean, well, now that's surprising.
When I was in developmental, I met a kind man named Dennis. Midian is the character that he played on the show. He told me, I said, you know what? You're doing well. He's a chef now. He's crushing it. We hung out a few months ago at his house. Like, he cooked for me. He's amazing, right? Mm. He told me when I was in developmental, he said, yeah, I was friends with all of the guys who were like at the top. And so whenever they beat somebody up, it'd be me, which means I'm on every single highlight DVD, which means I get a ton of residual money. So let me take that Mankind off the top myself.
You know what? You know what? That is probably the best, most well thought out answer I could possibly think of. That's actually pretty great. And that's a good way to look at it too, because you know a highlight like that is gonna do numbers.
Then now great. Forever, mankind.
Yeah, that's true. He's still got to be getting change from that, right?
That's checks. And I understand legacy and wrestling is very important, but at the end of the day, legacy ain't gonna pay my mortgage. Legacy ain't gonna pay my car note. Legacy ain't gonna send my kids to college. What's gonna send that paycheck?
That goes for the residuals, baby.
Yeah, and then you put the legacy on top of it. Now you're wrestling.
Now you're talking. Call of Duty or Valorant?
Valorant.
Yeah?
Yeah, we had a only because I feel like I put more time into Valorant. I don't think I've ever sat and tried to like get like good at Call of Duty, because you know, we've talked about this before, like the time that it would take for me to like get good at a first person shooter, like in the way that I would want to be, because again, being in the gaming space, if I'm playing a game like that, I want to be a contender. Like I've got an ego on me where I go, like, I want to do well in this.
I feel that.
Mm-hmm. And so when we spent the time and we do like what Valorant Mondays and we practice, like I missed that, but then we got completely wiped by people who were very good at first person shooters, because the four of us are not as good as the one of you. That so we brought the team down.
I mean, I was, you know, I was not, I was by no means a Valorant pro, like even close to it. But I didn't feel as bad knowing that, like, literally everyone that we lost to, we're talking about, so we did a Twitch Rivals Valorant tournament and we got absolutely shit on. But literally everybody else in that tournament went on to be like a legitimate Valorant professional. Like they're on a pro esports team now. So like, okay. You know, it's like, if I play in the All-Star game, I'm probably not scoring any points. So it is what it is. Life goes on.
I also picked Valorant because there was that one night, and it's like, it's probably my second favorite gaming achievement ever, is when I got the ace. I wiped the whole team with that shotgun, the judge. Yeah. Please, if this becomes a video, please put that clip in there, because I was losing my mind.
That was an amazing
never my
clip.
Wildest dreams. Yeah. I think that could occur.
That was the reaction to that, I think, was by far one of the best reactions I've ever seen. Just anything I've ever played with you, that was like above and beyond. That was fantastic. So good. Final one, Twitch or YouTube?
Both. Like I can't pick one. They're both so good. They're both so good for different reasons.
So we've learned that Austin Creed is very bad at speed round.
I mean, well, the thing is too, you're trying to mess up my money with these speed rounds.
No, I'm not trying to mess up your money. I don't know. I wasn't thinking like, oh, what's the most overrated video game franchise? And you'd be like, God of War, which is like about to come out with something, or like I thought you'd be like, oh, Tetris, or like I don't know, something like that. I know you wouldn't say Tetris. I know you love Tetris, but I was just, you know, whatever.
You can't pick one.
I can.
See, speedrun, Chris, speedrun. Okay, well, it's
shit. Overrated franchise would probably be Halo, I think.
You think
me,
so?
To me. It's like, see, I get it. But that's just to me. Like, that's my perspective of it. I know it's like one of the highest selling shooters of all time. I know it's got such a like insane huge fan base, and you know, new games coming out all the time. But it's just something I just never got into it. I can never get it. I've tried multiple times. I played with so many different friends. I play with Chugs. I play with Pulse. I play with everybody. And when it comes to Halo, and nothing, it does nothing for me. Not even a semi. Nothing.
That's fair for you. But now there's going to be someone else on a different podcast talking to their friend who works on Halo, and they're going to say, "How do you feel when people say Halo's overrated?" See that?
And that's fine. Look, I have to listen. I have to listen to my friends all the time tell me how overrated like Kingdom Hearts is and all these other things that I love. And it's just, I got to deal with what it is.
This is fair. I love Kingdom Hearts. It just got very confusing.
I could do a podcast on just Kingdom Hearts itself. Deadass. I could do a 50 episode game, podcast though. Minimum. It's unbelievable. Just talking about all the bullshit.
I tried to watch the last one that came out. You know, they had the, hey, this is what happened in the story so far. I played all the games, and even I watched it, and I was like, wait, what
you
happened?
You played all the games?
Yeah. I didn't play all of them all the way through. But even I touched all the games.
What about, like, you played, like, the DS ones?
Yeah, the DS one, yeah.
Okay.
I've touched all of them at least once.
Some of those are harder to get through than others.
Yes. Yes. Hence why I did not finish them.
But as a series overall, that's like top tier for me. That's where I put that.
It's such like a cool concept. And since like I'm excited for if they do make another one, and this is gonna be it's a ridiculous thing. But because like Disney owns everything now.
Yeah.
We could go to like X-Files world. What?
If there's a Star Wars crossover, I'm gonna lose my mind. I'm gonna lose my mind.
They could legit wipe everything from the story and start fresh and go Star Wars and X-Files. I'll poop my pants. I would poop my pants if I could like play with Mulder and Scully on my team and like maybe the smoking man comes in for an assist and then those weird, sorry, I really like X-Files. And then have you seen the episode that they refuse to show on TV except on Halloween?
I wasn't that big X-Files guy. No, I didn't see really too much of it. I know the music and I know the character names.
Okay, fair. So I know we're like winding down, we're like finished, but let me give my X-Files love before I go.
Please do.
So X-Files was one of the ways that me and my mom really bonded throughout childhood because like it was one of the things that we really shared. Like I watched wrestling, she didn't watch wrestling. She watched other stuff. Like she was watching Law and Order. I didn't understand it as a kid. Mm. But we would always come together Sunday nights, 9 o'clock after The Simpsons, X-Files time. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And so there's an episode where they go to this random town and there's these like, they're all like inbred like brothers. And the mom is on like this wheelie cart underneath a bed and she has no limbs. And they just like, it's terrifying. They beat a guy to death with baseball bats in his own house. And there's this song that's playing and it's like, wonderful, wonderful, oh, so wonderful. So it's a very like, I'm very into cognitive dissonance. So and if you don't know what that means, essentially hearing or experiencing one thing and with another sense, experiencing something that's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
So a nice song playing that makes you normally feel happy, but then seeing a man get and his wife get beat to death with baseball bats, cognitive dissonance.
I love when movies and stuff do that. It's awesome.
Oh, it's so good because you don't know. You're like, why do I feel like this? Yeah. I don't want it. So the episode is so graphic and so violent, they took it off Fox and they weren't allowed to show it in replays or anything. And then eventually, I want to say years later, they're like, we can show it on Halloween if you guys want to.
Mm.
So I'm pretty sure that's like the lore of the episode. But like, if you can give me X-Files plus Star Wars plus whatever else they own now, like if I saw Mulder and Scully pop up in an Avengers movie, what? Excuse me? Excuse me? Yeah, you have to call us. Oh my God. Oh, I love it.
Oh man, you're right. Disney owns everything at this point, so I really wouldn't be surprised. And there's so many crossover things I would love to see. Oh my God, just thinking about it is giving me too many emotions to describe. I think we covered a good amount of things. To be honest with you,
2 hours, right?
I think we pretty much hit the nail on the head with this one.
This man texted me. He said no more than an hour.
I was like, yeah, hour max probably. I mean, when me and you get going, it's rambling.
Are you sure you want this to be the first one?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I don't know. I'm a pretty good guest. I don't know anybody going to get it.
I set the bar pretty high. I know I'm setting the bar pretty high, but that's what I want around here. That's what you get. Into the danger zone, nothing but the best, baby. And it gets no better than one of my best friends in the world, Austin Creed, WWE's Xavier Woods, doing so many things. I'm so proud of you, and I'm so happy for you. And I want literally nothing but the absolute best for you in all aspects of your life as a wrestler, as a father, as a friend, everything. So keep fucking doing what you're doing. Don't let anybody tell you shit and believe in all your crazy, stupid ideas because they always work out.
Thanks, man. Sir. I'm trying to, I feel like I miss occasionally, but I feel like batting average is all right.
Everybody misses. Right. Everybody misses. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
This is very true.
That's what I said.
And that is why.
That's a quote I came up with.
That's your quote. Yep. So the first thing that I like really bought. Okay. First thing with my wrestling money, like when I got to developmental, which was not a lot of money at all, but I was coming off no job. So it was billions of dollars to me. I got an 80-inch TV, right? So that was like in 2010.
I was
3 months in. I was like, I'm paying for my apartment. I haven't, like, I can pay for groceries. So I have like the tiniest bit to save. and then a tiny bit going towards this TV that I want. Yeah. Eventually I got it, right? But then when I got like my first like real wrestling money, like when New Day started popping off, I was like,
I couple need more zeros on this one.
I need a big Buck Hunter machine in my house.
Naturally, as everyone does.
So that was the first thing that I bought, like with my wrestling money, is like a crazy like 70-inch TV with the big Buck Hunter.
You like, still have setup. It?
Yeah.
Okay, bet. Good. I know you got the big one that has like the 10,000 games on it or whatever that was. That one's pretty crazy. That one's sick. I gotta get that one.
I have a Groove Coaster machine. It's a rhythm game. There's a game called Musica. I'm not supposed to have that in the States, so yikes. Then I have a tiny Street Fighter machine and an NBA Jam machine, then my big Buck Hunter machine. I have in a warehouse two Virtual On cabinets. Remember Virtual On?
No.
It's like a big robot game. So you use like twin sticks to like move around.
Oh, okay.
And to shoot missiles and stuff. So those are in a warehouse. And when COVID hit, it messed up delivery stuff. So they've been sitting in there waiting. So eventually those will be in my house too. But that's what I'll leave you with. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for your time at Austin Creed Wins. Up, up, down, down.
I got that spiel.
You got the air. Right, sure hit socials. There you go.
If you enjoyed this 2 hours of me talking in a very long-winded manner and Chris jumping into the chat every once in a while,
steer the ship. No, you good?
Yeah, yeah. Make sure I'm not going too off the rails. Go ahead and check me out on the Twitter and the Instagram at Austin Creed Wins. Yes, I changed my at, lost my check because I didn't care. I'm gonna get it back, and I got it back within 24 hours because I believe in myself. Yeah, there you go. You get it. If you take bumps, ownership is important. Remember
Amen
that.
To that.
What I'm saying to you, ownership to is important. That is not a weird thing that I'm saying to you. It's a real thing that I'm saying to you. Also, check me out on the YouTubes, up, up, down, down. Just go search it in the search bar or on Google. You'll find it. Click subscribe. Watch all the videos. It'll help me out in the long run, please. And in the interim of me trying to figure out what kind of content we can create next, because we've lost a soldier that was extremely important to us. So beyond happy for him. So incredibly pleased with him and his great success. We must all move forward, and we will all move forward together. So if you come and help me out and click my videos, it'll help me move forward even better. Also, check out the New Day pod every single Monday on Spotify. Type in the New Day. Find the picture of the pink one with the three black guys in it and click that. It's us. Every listen helps. Also, I'm a G4 host, baby. G4 TV. That's at G4 TV on all social platforms. Follow me. Follow them. Make sure you're interacting with things that I do personally, with things that I do with Up Up Down Down, things that I do with G4 TV, and last but not least, I am a professional wrestler / sports entertainer, part of your boys the New Day. Catch me on Raw USA 8 o'clock. Who knows, I might be wrestling for an hour and a half. Nobody knows. I might not be wrestling at all, but regardless, check the show out. There's a lot of good talent on there. There's a lot of incredible talent on there, and on SmackDown, and on all our pay-per-views, and in NXT, that are absolutely crushing it. No matter what is thrown at them, they are able to get the job done. I say, one of, if not the most stacked rosters in all of wrestling. So many crazy talented people, and there's so many talented people in other wrestling companies too. You should go watch them. If you like them, watch them. If you like us, watch us. If you like both, watch both. Whatever you're doing, watch.
Imagine that.
Support something. Go to an independent show. Google and see if you have any local independent shows around you. Go to them, watch them, support them, buy their shirts, buy their 8x10s, because those are the people that are going to get to the show eventually.
There you go.
If you support them, they'll be able to support themselves, and they'll be able to keep doing this on the times that they can do this, so that wrestling will always be alive.
There you
go. Do that. Support.
Xavier Woods, Austin Creed, # keep wrestling alive. Thank you, buddy. I love you.
Thank you. Love you too, man.